Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Amen. They were here earlier this afternoon kind of getting things set up and getting everything prepared so that way we could provide this quality worship experience for you. And we just pray that you feel the love of Jesus tonight, that you would know that God loves you and has invited you into his family. So with that being said, tonight, you know, the theme that we've kind of chosen for this evening is this whole aspect of shining a light. And it was kind of appropriate because, you know, Jesus talks a lot about that in the Gospels. But all throughout the Bible, there's this constant theme of light and darkness all throughout the course of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And the reason why that's important is because I think a lot of times during seasons like this, we can kind of forget that God is promised to be with us. We've been in this series in our church. If you're new here, we've been in this series for the past few weeks called God With Us. And it comes from a scripture in Isaiah, which was a prophecy about Jesus coming to earth. And it talks about how the virgin who would be known as Mary would conceive and give birth to a child, and they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, meaning that God is faithful to be with you no matter where you find yourself. And so the past few weeks, we've been talking about that. And so if you're new to our church, you can go online to our website. You can check out those messages, or you can download our app from the App Store. Just look up the Bridge Church, find our logo. You'll see it up there. You can listen to all of our messages up there free of charge, really our gift to you. But the reason why we've chosen this series, God With Us, is because we want you to know that even though you may have gone through some difficult moments in your life, like you may be in the midst of a difficult season, that God is with you. And the reason why that's also important is because, you know, during the holiday season, there's a lot going on. There's ripping, there's running, there's shopping, there's, you know, all these different type of things happening. There's decorations, there's lights, you know, every store you go into, there's Christmas music playing, 101.32 WD. It's been playing Christmas music from like Thanksgiving till now. I know we had it on our station like the day after Thanksgiving, and it's been running ever since. But a lot of times in the midst of those things, I've realized that a lot of times, like, they can be good fronts for some of the difficulties that we have going in our life. Like these lights right here, they look, but they're really just superficial at best. Like, there's nothing about these lights that's going to change your life per se. And a lot of times what I've realized is we'll kind of hide behind those type of things to mask the pain that we feel, to mask the difficulty that we feel, to mask the hurt that we feel, and especially in this Christmas season, because while it's a jolly time for many people, for many others, it can be a very dark time. It can be a very difficult time. And a lot of times, people have experienced a lot of troubling moments during seasons like this. I was actually just talking with somebody recently, a few days ago, and they were talking about how somebody that they know, somebody in law enforcement, I was talking to a police officer who we know really well, and she was sharing how one of her closest friends had called she and her husband in the middle of the night, just panicking and just in tears because his mother had a heart attack overnight. And this was about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks ago. And so it's like, man, it's so difficult during a season like this. And I think a lot of times we could kind of go through seasons like this and think like, oh, you know, everything is cool and, you know, it's happy, jolly, everybody's smiling. And this season is beautiful. I love this season. I think it's the most powerful season, the most beautiful season during the year. But it can also be a painful reminder for many people that when people gather around the dinner table, maybe when you gather around the dinner table, there's one seat that's not occupied by that loved one who was there this time last year. Or maybe you remember where you were this time last year and life was much better, but over the course of the past year, things have gotten difficult. It feels as if you're in this very dark season. Matter of fact, this past week, December 21st was known as the winter solstice, the official time and beginning of the winter season. And if you know anything about that, it's considered to be the shortest day, but the longest night. So more hours of darkness, but lesser hours of sunlight and of day. And that may kind of describe what some of you guys came here feeling tonight, where it just seems as if there's just much darkness, where it seems as if like there's just a perpetual cycle of darkness and difficulty. But the Bible has a lot to say about light and dark. Like, matter of fact, it's probably one of the most robust themes all throughout the course of Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You constantly see this theme of light and dark. And as a matter of fact, the first place that you actually see this in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we may have it on the screen. I'm not sure if we do or not, but I think we do. And some of you guys who have a church background, matter of fact, many of you guys who don't even have any type of a church background, I'm pretty sure have heard this type of a story. But it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, meaning the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. And this is the part where many of us, I'm pretty sure, could finish. And God said, let there be light. He said, let there be light. It's the first time you ever see light mentioned in Scripture. Let there be light. And notice that in that passage, it talks about how the world was formless and it was empty and it was dark apart from God. And that really kind of symbolizes how our lives look apart from God. That apart from God, things are dark. Apart from God, we feel empty. We're essentially barren on the inside. There's a lot of pain and there's a lot of confusion. That when God is not present in our lives, when God is not present in our marriages, we oftentimes will experience a lot of difficulties that we shouldn't have to actually experience. We're left kind of questioning our life experience and raising a lot of questions. We find ourselves in these dark places with no hope at the end of the tunnel. But I want to let you know this morning, or this evening rather, that God has something to say about your darkness. That just as God spoke in Genesis chapter 1, in the midst of things being dark, let there be light. The principle is that God desires to bring light to the dark areas in your life. That God desires to light up some of the most difficult and dark and stressful times in your life. Let me say it like this, that how a situation begins is not how it has to end when God is in it. That yes, your life may have started one way, and yes, things may have started a certain way, but the minute God steps in, the minute you allow God to step in, that situation has to change. So even though you find yourself in a pervasive time of darkness, I want to let you know that tonight you came on the perfect night to a wonderful Christmas experience, to know that God is with you. Like, for those of us who are type A people, if you're looking for, like, what's the title of today's message, tonight's message, I'm just calling it in our darkness, that God is with us in our darkness. Darkness! You got to be a certain age to know what I just said right there. Some of y'all, like, millennials, like, what? Just go YouTube it. Darkness! That God wants to do something about the darkness that you feel right now in your life. And this wasn't just something that was stated in Genesis chapter 1, but I don't know if you were here earlier in service, how we showed a quick video that had a scripture that I'm about to get ready to read from in John chapter 1, where it talks about kind of a parallel to Genesis chapter 1. Matter of fact, theologians would call this great mirror image of the scripture, where in Genesis 1 it says, in the beginning God. And here in John chapter 1, which is where I'm going to kind of read a little bit from now, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. Everybody say darkness. Matter of fact, say it like this, darkness. Come on, we got some fun. Say darkness. There you go. Put a little southern accent on it. Darkness. Right? Some of you guys got like big mamas in your family. Darkness. She make the face darkness. That this theme all throughout Scripture, God has something to say about darkness. Christmas is about the arrival or the coming or the birth of Jesus Christ. And how he steps out of eternity, out from heaven,
to show us that coming to earth is indicative of the fact that God is with us. He's with us through our most difficult times. You may be saying, well, Pastor, that doesn't have anything to do with the Christmas story. There's not any, you know, camels. There's not any horses. There's no, you know, stable. There's nothing. There's no hay. There's not Joseph and Mary. They're not there. No, this has everything to do with the Christmas story. Because while the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, talk about the details of Jesus' birth and Jesus' coming, John talks about the significance of it coming. It's like John is like, hey, Matthew, Luke, I know you guys talked about the details. What I'm going to do is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk about how this connects to everything else that we see all throughout the Bible. I'm going to talk about how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word, and why is it talking about Word was with God, and Word is God? What John is alluding to here, as we will see later on in John chapter 1, I don't have enough time to dive into it, but what he's talking about is this Word, this person known as the Word, is Jesus. Verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word became flesh. That's talking about the incarnation, the arrival, the birth of Jesus. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. Do you see the theme? God with us. How do I know that God is with me? He sent the Son Jesus to prove it. That Jesus came in the form of a man. He came in the form of a baby to show us that even in the midst of our darkness, that Jesus comes to bring light into our lives. And then it says that that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness. What does darkness represent oftentimes in Scripture? All throughout the Bible, darkness means quite a few things: brokenness or evil or wickedness or sin or pain. But most of all, the most important thing that darkness represents in the Bible is spiritual separation from God. Is that our lives apart from God are dark. Do you remember when I read Genesis chapter 1 and it talked about how in the beginning was God and he created the heavens and the earth and the earth was formless, it was dark. Until God speaks, it's dark. When God comes into your life, he begins to light up your life. He begins to bring hope into your life. He begins to bring joy into your life. So no matter where you're trying to find hope and love and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment, you can try to find it in a relationship or a party or a new job or a new career or new clothes or new hair. You're not going to find it in any of those things. You will only find it in a relationship with God. You will only find it by letting God come into your life. Darkness, all of us have been in this state where maybe because of our sinfulness, maybe because of some of the painful experiences we've gone through. Some of you guys are in the middle of darkness right now, not because you've sinned, not because you've done anything wrong, but just because, man, life is tough right now. Man, you're going through a lot of emotional issues. You're going through a lot of health issues. You just had a catastrophic accident recently, and you're trying to figure out, like, man, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? And God brought you here tonight to tell you, yes, there is, to shine a light, that God is with us in our darkness. Light represents often in the Bible the truth or hope or the knowledge of God. And when John says in the beginning was the Word, he's talking about Jesus, who is God himself, but he's not the same as the Father. That we believe in Scripture, that the Bible teaches that our God is triune in person, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so just as the Father was present in creation, Jesus was there as well as the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't just stop there, because one thing that Jesus says about himself in Scripture is very powerful. He says this in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said this, I am the light of the world. I am the light. Not you, not your coworker, not your boss. Not a new job, not a new boo, none of that. Jesus is the light of the world. Notice what he says next. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What is Jesus helping us understand? That Jesus coming into our life, he is the light. He is the source of all things that are good. He is the source of the light. He lights up the darkness in our life, but in him being the light to our life, he brings a few things with him. That the light is not just about lighting up the darkness, but there's some things that are kind of tucked away in that truth that John kind of gives us some clues here. In verse 4, John says something that's very, very powerful. He says this, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. What is John getting at here? that Jesus, the light of the world, what does he do? How does he show that God's presence in our darkness is powerful? Because this, God's presence in our darkness, one of the things that it initially brings is it brings life to dead things. It brings life to dead situations. So if you came in here today like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this experience, and I have no hope. I've given up all hope. I've given up all joy. I'm giving up on happiness. I'm giving up on contentment. I'm giving up on fulfillment. John helps us see that Jesus, the light of the world, doesn't just come to bring light, but within that light, he brings life. He brings, in other words, what I would call vitality. Vitality meaning vitals, meaning that these are the necessary things for you to be able to live the life that God wants you to live. Here's what Jesus will say in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, there's no way I could have a relationship with God other than by believing in Jesus and what he has done for me. But he also is the source of life because he is life. In other words, you would never find life apart from Jesus. You would never find light apart from Jesus. They are inseparable. Jesus brings vitality to our situation. Some of us came in here today with a lot of dead things in our life. Like some of us are this close to giving up on that relationship, this close to giving up on that person, this close to giving up on your own life. And Jesus says, hey, I want to let you know that before you decide to go through with that decision, I want you to know that I've come to earth so that way I can bring light, aka life, into your life. So that way you realize that you may be wanting to give up on you, but I have not yet given up on you yet. That I've come to bring life. Matter of fact, Jesus will say this in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they, who is they? You and me, all of us, the whole world, may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants to give you life. Wants to give you life. And I always think that's interesting because a lot of times, like, we believe the hype of the media and we believe the hype of our friends and our culture and things like that. Like, man, if you're not clubbing, if you're not throwing back five bottles of beer at a club or at a party, or if you're not doing this, if you're not getting lit, if you ain't getting turnt, that you're not living life. And Jesus says, there is no life apart from me. And the reason why you know that's not really true life is because you got to keep on going back to it, going back to it, going back to it, and it never fills you. It leaves you actually feeling more empty than you actually did from the first place. But Jesus says this, would you come to me? Because when you come to me, I can satisfy the thing that you're trying to find satisfaction in all of these other areas of your life. If you would just tap into my water, if you would just tap into the stuff that I want to give you, if you would just tap into my life, that's when you will find satisfaction. That's when you will find joy. That's when you will find hope. Jesus coming to earth is God's presence being in our life. God's presence in our life brings vitality. I'll say it like this, that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. It wasn't about you having your morals on the up and up. It wasn't about you all of a sudden doing bad things and then turning to do good things. No. Jesus says you don't have a good and bad problem. You and I have a sin problem. That's what we got. And the only one who can deal with the sin problem is the one who has overcome the grave, sin, death, and evil. The reason why people do the crazy things that they do is not because, quote unquote, they're bad people. It's because they're called sinners. Right? Like, that's the reason why. And the only one who can do something about it is Jesus. And he says, I can do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. I want to give you life, man. He says, aren't you tired of just trying to find life in all these other places that is not working? You don't spend hundreds and thousands of dollars trying to turn up only to be let down. And Jesus says, would you just try me? I've come to give you life. Matter of fact, in January, we're starting a brand new series called Begin Again and how Jesus gives us a fresh start. That no matter what kind of past you've had, no matter what you've dealt with, no matter the decisions that you and I've made, when Jesus steps in, he says, I want to give you a new start. You can begin again. But Pastor, you don't know the stuff that I've done. You don't know the things that I've said. You don't know how I have done things that I have not even told a single person about. That's true, and let me help you understand. But Jesus does, and he still loves you. If Jesus can know all your dirt, all your stank, all your mess, darkness, if he can know all about that and still come to earth
and die for your sins and resurrect and raise on the third day. Clearly, he knows exactly what he's doing. Clearly, you have value to him. Clearly, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's what he wants to do in you. He says you can begin again. We're starting that series in January, so you got to come back. But it doesn't stop there. The light of the world, Jesus, he not only brings us vitality, that no matter how dead things look in life, Jesus, the light, he gives life. All throughout the Bible, you see constant things that were dead. Lazarus in particular, in John chapter 11, he was dead. He died. You know what Jesus said when he found out that he died? Like his disciples came to him and said, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He died, bro. He's gone. That's your homie. He's out. He took an L. All the other colloquialisms that you can think of right there. You know what Jesus said? Sometimes Jesus can be really cold as ice, but he has a purpose to it. You know what he says to the disciples when they come and bring him that news that Lazarus, one of his closest friends, is dead? You know what he says? Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad. Hold on. Jesus, you were cool with that thing happening? Like, you allowed that to happen even though you could have did something about it? Jesus had already healed plenty of people. He could have stopped Lazarus from dying if he wanted to. He's already healed sick people. Jesus, how could you allow this bad thing to happen in my life? How could you allow this loved one to pass away? How could you allow this letdown to take place in my life? Lazarus is dead, y'all, and for your sake, I am glad. Why would he say this? Because a few verses later, he would show them that he is the resurrection and the life. That sometimes God allows darkness to come into your life so that he can show that he is the one who is the source and the author of life. That no matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, that it is not over until God says it's over. That even on Good Friday, as we know it in the Bible, when Jesus was crucified, it was a very dark Friday, but it didn't stop there. Because the source of life, the light of the world, Jesus, would get up 3 days later. But it doesn't just stop there. It kind of goes into what I'm talking about next. And lastly, I'm going to close right here. That Jesus stepping into our life as the very presence of God not only brings vitality, not only brings life in our darkness, but he also brings victory over our darkness. That the dark moment that you feel yourself in right now, that Jesus has already conquered it. Notice what John says back in verse 5 of John 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Notice what he says. The darkness has not overcome it. In other words, it may fight against darkness. It may wrestle with light. It may fight against light, but it can't overcome it. And if Jesus says that he is the light of the world, if Jesus says that he is the one who can bring life, if Jesus is the one who says, I came from heaven 2,000 plus years ago to tell you that I can bring life, he's also telling you that no matter what it looks like has defeated you, that there is nothing that can defeat me, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. God gives you victory over your darkness. That yes, some things may come in your life, and yes, you may find yourself in some dark seasons, but I want to let you know this evening that Jesus says, I've already overcome it. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 30, so I'm going to read it really quick and get ready to close. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He, meaning the Father, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Jump down to verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall trouble or hardship, in other words, shall darkness or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, no, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Pastor, what do you mean by this? What I mean by this is, there was nothing that could stop Jesus from doing what he came to earth to do. And there's nothing that could stop Jesus from doing in your life what he desires to do in your life. That no matter the darkness that you find yourself in right now, he came to show that, hey, I'm with you in this. Matter of fact, David would say it like this in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, darkness, I will fear no evil because you are with me. God is with you in your darkness, and in him being with you in your darkness, it means that you got victory in your darkness. That's why scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I know what the doctor said to you this past week or a few weeks ago, that there's no hope, but I want to let you know, man, that God already has given you victory. I'll share this story as I close, and in closing here, Ben, you guys can come on up. There was a friend of mine who, he and his wife, they were trying to get pregnant for a number of years from the time that they got married some years ago. And from the very beginning, the doctor was telling them that they would never be able to have kids. Impossible, physically impossible. Would never be able to conceive. And in times where they did conceive, they had a miscarriage. So constantly the doctors were presenting to them these different options. Maybe you should look at adopting. Maybe you should look at foster care. Maybe you should look at all these different things. And they were considering them and they were open, but in the midst of that, they were experiencing a lot of pain. It was very dark. But then one day, the wife came to the husband and she said, "I've been having some feelings in my stomach that feel very reminiscent of pregnancy pains. As if there's something on the inside, and I don't know if it's pregnancy, but maybe we should go get it checked out." They go to the doctor, same doctor who tells them that they will never be pregnant, will never conceive. And the doctor tells them that they are quite a few months pregnant. Fast forward, some good 6 or 7 months later, they gave birth to their first child. Beautiful daughter. Who now, recently, was close to celebrating her first birthday. What does that show us? That even in your most darkest moments, when things look like there is no hope, Jesus, the light of the world, steps in. And he brings victory. So I don't know what you're up against right now and what you've been facing, but I want you to know that just as God was with them, he's also with you. No matter what kind of darkness you find yourself in, he's with you. He's with you. In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says, I'm a light. Once again, he's talking about who he is, light of the world. He says, "I'm a light. I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So what is Jesus asking you and I to do today? Just to believe him. To let his light come in. I think a lot of times we treat Jesus like Santa Claus. "You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry." Y'all know the song. Santa Claus is coming to town. And it doesn't stop there. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Right? Now, I don't know, parents, if you've had a conversation yet, so I'm not gonna go any further than that, but that phrase, it sounds good, it's jolly, it's nice, it's pretty, it's cool, and it's real catchy. But it's bad theology, I'm gonna tell you why. Because it goes to show and say that Santa will bless you if you're good. That the gift from Santa is based upon your performance. That's not how God is. God's gifts to you aren't based on your performance. They're based on his son Jesus' performance. In other words, the only thing that you and I got to do is believe it in by faith. Amen. Just receive it. And I know for many of us, that's hard. Because you're so used to being so performance-driven with everything that you got to work for people's love, you got to work for people's affection. And Jesus is the only one who's pure in heart, who can say, "You don't have to work for anything that I have to give you because I already did it for you." All you got to do is receive it by faith. That's what Christmas is about. That's why Jesus came from heaven to earth. So that way he could take us from earth to heaven. That's what it's about. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, here's my question this evening. Will you let Jesus, the light of the world, come into your life? Will you let Jesus, the one who brings life, the one who brings vitality, the one who brings victory, will you let him enter into your life this evening? Change your life, to transform your life, to do something for you that you could never do for yourself. He's
says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I want to give you an everlasting Father. I want to give you an awesome relationship with my Father. And all you have to do is believe in what I've done through my birth, through my life, my perfect life, through my perfect death, through my perfect resurrection. All you got to do is receive it, believe it by faith, and you are entering into the family of God.
So if you're here this evening and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I got a lot of dark things in my life right now. I've made a lot of bad decisions. I've sinned against God. I've messed up, man. I'm going through some rough patches right now in my marriage. I'm going through some rough patches right now in my finances. I've tried to make it happen on my own. I've tried to fix it on my own. But tonight, I realize and I've heard that only Jesus can do something about it. That only Jesus, the one who spoke light in the middle of darkness, is the one who can bring light into the middle of dark situation. Tonight, I want him to be my light.
So if that's you, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised from the grave on the third day so that I could have life and so that I could have victory. Jesus, be my Lord, and Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In this moment, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. If you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision that a person could ever make. Because what you've done is you've allowed Jesus, the light of the world, to come into your life, to light up the dark areas in your life. And I don't know what your dark areas are, but here's what I do know. When Jesus steps in, darkness has to flee.
Yeah. Amen.
I know for a fact that when bad things are happening in your life, if you would just let Jesus, the author of light and the author of life, step in and put his hands on that situation has to change. And if you just prayed that prayer, you are going to experience that. Matter of fact, you are experiencing it right now. And all of heaven is rejoicing over it. And because all of heaven is rejoicing, we as a church, we rejoice with the great decision.